लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today, we are going back to an actor, and we are going back to an actor who was one of the first one I saw in a vertical, to be honest. And I was a bit disappointed when I saw him as a really, really mad dad. I was kind of a bit of disappointed, so I have to ask him what the hell got into him when he was playing this role. But we are open and honest talking here. So I'm saying hello to Richard Scherer. Welcome to my podcast.
Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm sorry that I ruined your perception and love of my first character with the horrible dad, the evil dad, I guess. I think I already know who you're talking about.
I was totally disappointed.
Yeah. What was the first one you saw me, by the way? Which one was the first?
The total... I'm so bad in titles. Wait, let me check. In the lovey-dovey really nice hero playing one.
The billionaire bank bargain?
Maybe. I really felt in love with you. But with the second vertical I saw of you, all the plus points were gone.
I think it's the mommy don't cry, daddy's sorry. I think that's the one that pissed the most people off. Because they're online. Everyone was going crazy. They're like, oh my God, how does he not know which one's his real daughter? What the hell? Like, yeah. And everyone was DMing me. Like,
really?
Nuts. Like, it was crazy. That was the one. Because I remember when the first one I ever did was The Billionaire Baby Bargain. That's the one we were talking about. That's the one where Kirby plays the lead girl's sister.
Yeah.
Who's
sick. Yeah.
That's it. So that was my first one. I think it was Kirby's first one. And then also Daniela's first one. So all of us was first, even the director. First
no,
time
Kirby's first one, she told me she played a death one. In.
Okay. All right.
But it was a day player. But I think it was Kirby's first lead, maybe.
Well, yeah. So we're all in here together. This is the first time we've ever done it. I mean, I told you before we record, I come from the horizontal space. So I had literally just got done shooting like a guest spot on a TV show where we were at the Manhattan Beach Studios, the very studios that James Cameron built out for Avatar. And for like the Mandalorian Lucasfilm, that's where they shoot there. Mm-hmm. So I was shooting that. And the very next day I show up on set and it's guerrilla style lean. They're shooting like 20 pages a day. I was just like, woo, here we go. It's something new.
What's
I love it.
Happening?
I know. It's like, what is happening? But I fell in love with the whole process. And then immediately the Billionaire Baby Bargain went viral. Like it went nuts. Everybody who like, I haven't talked to people for like years, even like high school. And they're like, why the hell are you on my TikTok, Richard? What is it? And then I was like, okay, I know this is nuts. This is new. Because no one had really known about verticals back then. And then as they continued to grow, I did another hit. It was Resisting Mr. Lloyd. That was one where people recognized me again. But man, like I didn't know like super hit until like Mommy Don't Cry, Daddy Is Sorry. That's the one where I was getting stopped everywhere I usually went. So like do errands in the city here in LA, like normal stuff. And then people in the counters, when I would check out, the cashier would go.
Really?
They would stop and like, look at me. I forgot.
You are the bad guy.
They're exactly they're like, hold on a second. Do you like not know who your daughter is? And I just start laughing. And I'm like, yeah.
But I have to ask you, I mean, you have three kids. How hard was it to play such a bad dad?
I know that's what everybody says. I know everyone's like, you're such an amazing, like, so my socials, everyone knows that, like, we're very open. Like, they know I married a Disney princess and my wife is beautiful. And then we have three beautiful children and they're like very camera, like, you know, they They talk to the fans. Everybody let they my fans will literally call out my kids by name. They're like, "Oh my God, we love Maverick. He just had his birthday." And
I
so I got all
saw.
these DMs. I know we had all these DMs from people saying, "Tell Maverick happy birthday. We
Oh,
love
that's
him."
sweet.
And you know what's even crazier? Maverick is going to be in one. So he's going to be in
Yeah,
Vertical.
I
Yeah.
have to ask about this one also, but first I want to know, was that kind of role challenging for you to play such an awful dad?
It's not challenging. I would say it's just like opening up a part of, I mean, I don't know how actory you want this to get. I mean, there's like people who would love to like, talk off for like hours about the actor's process and like how they get into it. But especially with that one, I feel like what they try to teach you, especially when you do conservatory training, like when you're actually trained as an actor, is they call it like your instrument, is that your instrument is open. That you can actually access stuff that normally in your real life, like me, Richard, I'm like, a good dad. I care about my children and stuff like that. But there is the potential or your capacity to tap into those different elements. I always use the analogy of a piano. So piano, every single key, you can go all the way from the bass all the way to like shit, the treble, like from the all of those keys. Most people kind of live in like two different like octaves of like playing like that's their life. Whereas as an actor, you're supposed to open up your instrument to be able to play any octave. So that octave of being a bad dad, of not knowing and yelling and screaming and hitting people, that's an octave in my personal life that I don't use very much. So
I was really shocked.
But as an actor, you open up yourself and you open your instrument, aka if we're going to keep the analogy of the piano, that all of a sudden you have the ability to play down here in this octave that I don't do in my real life, but you can actually exist here and play and create art with those octaves of the piano.
Okay, and we have to say Samantha Drews did a great job.
I know,
Also, what
like
was the name of the child actor? She did also
there.
so
So
great.
April is the name of the of my real daughter, the one who is getting like thrown down the stairs, the one who
Yes,
took
yes,
the
yes.
cake and took
I
it.
meant her. Yeah.
I think she was only like 4.5 years old or like almost five at the time. Like phenomenal. Like she was like, it's
All
these
in all, the
Russians.
face
These the
impressions and
Russian women.
emotions, and I was so, whoa, what the heck?
These Russian girls come out of the gate acting. It's like Stanislavski. They're already like born with it. It's in their blood. And so yeah, because she was so young. And when she would do her scenes, she rarely ever asked for line. Like she knew her lines and would do them. And all of a sudden she's doing it, and I'm like right off camera, and I'm like, oh, she's amazing. I was like, she's so good. Yeah.
You were her biggest fan,
I
huh?
know, I was her biggest fan. Yeah. And so it was, I've talked about this a lot too on some of the other podcasts, but like the entire atmosphere of a set, I actually take very, very prideful. I'm very prideful when I say when you're like number one on the call sheet, it means like you're like the most important person on the call sheet or whatever. I feel like there's a responsibility when you're number one on the call sheet, like to have the tone of the set. And so I loved actually making sure, because it was so intense and like sad and everyone's crying like every other scene, that I wanted to make sure that everyone felt happy on set. So once the director would say cut, I would crack jokes. I would tell the little girls like something stupid to make them laugh. And then I would send them on little missions. I'm like, you know what, dad needs a Diet Coke. Go get me something to eat. The girls would run off and go to Crafty and be like, oh my God, I gotta get Richard this, I gotta get these donuts. Here we go. And then they would run back to me and stuff. And I'm like, all right, you were first. Good job. I drink the Diet Coke. But yeah, just to keep them, in a happier place. Because then, man, whenever they had to go and start acting, yeah, they went to the dark place. Yeah.
Have to say, this vertical catch me really hard.
Yeah.
In it was, sometimes mostly verticals are this typical CEO billionaire hidden identity stuff shit. And this vertical, the storyline of this vertical was more realistic for me than this whole billionaire CEO kind of stuff. And
Was
as I
actually, yeah, it was
said,
actually well written. That's the thing. It
the
was actually
cast was
a
so
good script.
great for this
Everybody killed it.
storyline.
Everybody nailed it. Yeah, everybody was
And
great.
after that one, a lot of nearly the same storylines with different casts popped up, but they weren't so good like this one. This one
Thank
catched me
you. I
totally.
know.
No, it was.
Thank you for saying I'm the best,
Although
but
I were a bit disappointed that you can be so harsh, but
I know everybody loved it. So I did another one after that when everyone was like, "All right, Richard, let's see how evil he can get." Because that was kind of like a little bit like not all the way down at the bottom of the piano. And so they gave me, ooh, Sadness Knows No Boundary. I think it's the name of it. It's the one with Haley Lorelei.
Oh,
And they were
she's
just
so
like,
great also.
I know. And they basically said, "You know what, Richard? You can do anything you want. Go. Just be as evil as you want." And so like whenever we would show up, I was like in her face. I was like, just telling her how horrible she was and stuff like that. And everyone was just like, "Oh my God, Richard, look." That was fun. I always say playing the villain stuff is fun because you get to do whatever you want.
Yeah, that
Whereas
say
like when you
a lot of to me tell me that they mostly prefer playing the villain because it's always fun to play the villain.
That's it. That there's no restraints. So like when you play the hero, or like you're the good guy, quote unquote the good guy, there is kind of like a box that you have to stay in. Like you kind of stay in like only one octave up here on the high part of the piano. Whereas when you're a bad guy, you have the whole piano. You do whatever you want. You could be good because you're lying and you have to pretend to be good, or else you can go be evil and be mean and do whatever you need to do to
Yeah,
be
no
evil.
one
Yeah.
expects to be perfect.
There you go. So now you can just play. You have the entire piano to play with when you're an evil
Come on,
guy.
I already played a villain in kindergarten. I was in Sleeping Beauty, the bad witch,
Ooh,
with three already three
Maleficent.
years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
There you
I think
go.
it's because of my black hairs, you know.
There's your black hair. Yeah. They're like, she's evil. Let's go.
My dad always saying, Michaela, everything in your life is black. Black hair, black dogs, black soul. So I don't have any
If you haven't noticed,
expectations.
everything on me is black too. I have black,
Yeah.
black, black. I always make the joke, it's like black goes with everything and it goes with nothing. And it's black like my soul.
That's, no one is expecting anything. So I can live with that. I'm totally fine with that, to be honest. So when now your son joined the set for the first time,
Was crazy. It
did
really
he
was.
steal you the show on set?
Yeah, I mean, I made fun of it on TikTok. There was a point where the PA, it's the people like the assistants that go and like corral you and be like, "Hey, you need to be in hair and makeup in 5 minutes. Hey, you need to go over here. We're gonna be on set. We're gonna go," and you have a hot set, especially with the minors because everything is timed with the minors. But they said, "All right, Richard and Maverick, go down to hair and makeup." And of course, me, I'm like, "All right, I'm number one on the call sheet. I'm gonna be nice and be like, okay, Maverick, just watch Dad first, and then you can get in." They were like, no, Richard, Maverick's going first." And I was like, "Wait, excuse me?" I know,
Hello.
what is going on? It's like, yeah, immediately Maverick, yeah, was like, he was in scenes that I wasn't in yet. And it was just so funny to me because I was so used to just being the first one in the chair, the first one to go on set, the first one to do my lines. But then Maverick, all of a sudden, yeah, for that day, it was Maverick. And I was like, you know what? If I was ever going to bow out to someone, I'd rather it be my son. So yeah. But Maverick had a blast. I mean, how is it not hard? Like it's very hard to not enjoy a set because you basically get treated like a god. Like, you
Yeah.
have your assistants, they get you whatever you want. They always ask, "Hey, are you ready? Are you okay? Like, do you need water? Do you need food?" And Matt, like, cause and so he's so young, Maverick, he had no idea that you could just
He's
go to
eight
an area.
now, right?
Yeah,
Did I
he's eight
saw
now.
that right?
So that you could go to a part of the house and it's an entire section of a table of just food. Just waiting for you. And he's like, "What is this?" He's like, "Can I take one? Can I take two?" And I'm like, "You can take as much as you want." And he's like, "Oh my God." Like, I start eating like crazy. Yeah.
So
So,
I assume it was not the last time that he wanted to go on a
yeah, I mean,
set.
he had fun. The funny thing was, actually, to be honest, I don't ever try to push anything on the kids, but I always say that you have to try it once. You can never just say, "No, I don't want to," and be scared of something. It's like, nope, that's why you have to do it. But and you have to try it, and then after you do it, you can make that decision to continue or not. And to be funny, to actually funny enough, when we first were asked to do this, and they needed children around the same age as my kids, and they were like, "Maverick, do you want to like act? Like, do you want to do this audition?" He's like, "Nah, no." Nah. He doesn't care. He wants to play baseball. But I was like, "All right, well, remember the rules. We have to try everything at least once." So he did it and he was so good because he didn't care. Like some of these kids, like when they want to do this so bad, and like the theater parents are just like, "Do this again, repeat it, repeat it. Like, we're gonna do this audition a million times until you get it right." Like the kids just get like all
They're
lost in it,
blocked.
and
Yeah, they're
they
blocked.
block,
Yeah.
they get nervous, and all of a sudden the red light when they say, "All right, action," they freeze. They don't know what to do because there's so much pressure. I actually would argue that when Maverick was like, "Eh, I don't care," I was like, "That's why you have to do it, because you don't, because it is natural." Like,
Was it
you're
the
gonna be
first time
so
he
great.
did some acting
Yeah, it
stuff?
was the first time he's on acting. Yeah, first time for the camera at least. He did some like little cute productions at his school,
Okay.
but yeah, little theater things. But first time with a camera, actual set, like a movie set. Like, yeah, that was the first time. But he loved it. He's a cute kid. Yeah, he's very charismatic.
Hasn't he
He was
been
always like,
asking Dad, when can we do that again?
yeah, exactly. I think he also liked the fact that they pay. So he's like, I can buy
Okay,
whatever I want.
so did he get his paycheck, or did Getty get the paycheck and said,
So,
Maverick, I will keep the money for you?
okay, so here's the talk that I had, because I mean, you know that I have a master's in business, and so I understand the stock market. I'm trying to understand like financial literacy and teaching
That's
that
why
as a
I'm
father.
asking.
That's it. I sat him down and I'm like, look, you're gonna make more money than any of your friends have ever made, because like this is like a real movie and they give you money. And so I told him, I was like, you can spend some of it, because yes, you can celebrate that you have some money, but like
Yes,
I'm
yes.
trying to teach you responsibility. I'm trying to
Yeah.
teach you some, like, you know, how you can invest this money. And there's a place called the stock market that if you invest,
You
you can
told your
actually have.
8-year son, oh,
I'm telling him, I'm trying to teach him
really?
young. I'm teaching him young. And I was like, look, the more that you put it in the stock market and wait, by the time you're 16, so in America, 16 is about the age where you start buying your first car and then
Yeah.
you need to drive. And most people, they're just screwed and they don't have money, they haven't made money yet. And so they're just kind of
Yep.
like, eh. And their parents try to get them like this really ghetto clunker. It's just something that barely turns on, at least where I'm from. Obviously, there's rich people that can give their kids a new BMW. But that I didn't grow up like that. And so I told him, I was like, look, you can be smart with your money and put it in the stock market. And then whenever you need it, when you're 16, it'll grow and grow and grow to where you can buy a car. And
That's
he's like, oh,
smart.
that's awesome. Yeah, exactly.
That's
So I was like,
smart.
so I'll invest it for you. I mean, obviously, I invest in stocks and stuff. And so I was
Yeah.
like, I'll make sure to track it. And you can track how much money you made every single, you can ask me anytime. I'll show you how much money you've made now. It's growing.
Because
So
I
yeah.
spoke with Hunter Cole,
Yep.
and he told me when he did his first acting job as a kid, he was 13 or 14. The parents told him he can buy whatever he wants with this paycheck. You know what he buy what he bought?
What do you buy?
A dachshund,
Oh my
a
God. So
dog,
he blew it all. He just
a
blew it.
dog. The
Oh
parents thought that he would buy a toy or stuff like
my
that, but
God.
he
It's like, I'm buying
wanted
a
a
dog.
dog so badly, so
Oh
he bought a dog.
my
And he
buddy.
told me his parents nearly got divorced.
Yeah, I know. I believe it. That's a
That
big thing to
was
buy.
why I'm asking if Maverick is able
Yeah.
to spend the
No.
money or not.
He was smart actually, because I don't know if you know in Los Angeles, or like it's a famous kid. He was a kid star. It's Coogan, so it's a Coogan Law that's named after the boy. And he was
Okay.
a young child star who became famous and made all this money, but his parents wasted all of it. And then
Really?
when he turned 18, and he goes, "Hey, I want to go and buy some stuff with all the money that I made. Can I have my money?" His parents were like, they blew it
Sorry,
all.
it's
And
gone.
exactly, it's gone. Exactly. So this kid lost his mind. It was a horrible problem. And it was around the same era, I think, that like Shirley Temple was a big thing too, because she was a child star. And so they actually instituted a law called the Coogan Law. And it's the Coogan
Okay.
account, where if
Okay.
there's ever a child or a minor that does acting work, that a certain percentage of the paycheck has to go into a Coogan account, that even me as a parent, I can't touch it.
Oh, that's
So it's, yeah,
great.
exactly. I know it's brilliant. It was a very good law to do it, because some parents are crappy, you know, some people would
Yeah.
spend their kids' money. And so it's protected at the bank until Maverick turns 18.
Oh,
And then
that's great.
he can access that money.
That's
So
good.
you can look it up. It's called the Coogan Law. And you open up a Coogan account. And whenever I asked them at the bank, I was like, do you guys do Coogan accounts? He's like, yep, of course. It's like, it's LA. And so it's like, you know, they do child actor Coogan accounts.
But that's great,
Yeah.
because I know from a lot also young musicians, stuff like that. There were so many young artists where the parents blow the money.
I know. Everybody's like, I want to see Maverick. And I think, to be honest, he does a great job. He's because I told you, because he didn't care. He's very natural.
Was
It's
it
like,
hard to make a bit of difference of not being too daddy on set?
no, it was good, because to be honest, like, I was the, like, you know, I'm the lead of the whole series. And so I'm
Yes.
kind of busy with my own lines and busy with my own stuff.
Okay.
And I have my own, like, you know, scenes that I'm doing. But my wife, of course, she had to be there. And
Yes.
so Jessica, she would work the lines with him, tell him, like, what's going on. And it was, I think it was actually easier for him to be in a new experience, like being on a movie set and everything, because he's just with his dad. He's just like, all right, I'm hanging out with dad. So I can feel like, you know, a little bit more less nervous. And I'm in the scene with them.
What was the reaction of your daughter? Did she said, I want to do also
She
a
wants to do it,
movie
yeah.
with
Of course she
dad?
does, yeah. She's like, I want to go do that. Maverick's doing it. She's a little bit too young, just a little bit too young. But yeah, next time around, I think we'll try to get her one. It'll be fun for her.
Then, and one day Richard is playing with all his three kids.
With all, yeah, exactly. With all of them, all the kids.
Vertical. That would be great, wouldn't
I think it would be so cute to have like the only one who's like a vertical like lead guy with his actual kids. I
That
think it'd be
would
fun.
be a memory
Oh.
absolutely unpayable. That would be so great. And when you did your first vertical one, after that, what were your thoughts? Did you thought were you thinking, what the heck was that? That was also
Exactly.
fast,
So
or
when we wrapped the Billionaire Baby Bargain, it was a new experience completely. In fact, it was a new market. So, like I said, I come from the horizontal space, so legacy media. I had done stuff for ABC, I had done stuff with Lucasfilm, I had done stuff for Disney. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing this thing, the Billionaire Baby Bargain, with this company that I never heard of before, Real Short.
How did you get the role?
It was an audition still. So,
Okay.
well, what your representation when you have a manager and agent and stuff like that. So, your agent would just submit you to a bunch of stuff. And I'm always getting, they call them sides. Like you get your sides, like your audition, like 6 pages, 8 pages, whatever, 9 pages for your audition. And I always do them at night. So when the kids finally go down and the house is quiet, I always like, you know, do my auditions, film it, and then submit it, and then just go about the next day. Because you don't, you're not, no one ever gets 100% of the auditions that you do. I just do them, I prep them, I do it how I would like, you know, how I see the character, and then you just have to forget it because you'll kill yourself if you overthink everything. So I submit it and go. I get a call back, same deal. I treat the callbacks just the same. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll do this. Here it is. Bop, here, submit, and then forget about it. And then all of a sudden, I get the call from my manager. He's like, you booked it. And I was like, all right. So what did I book? Because there's so many. You're just like, all right, what did I book? What the hell? The billion. I was like, I don't even remember that I like auditioned for. I was like, the Billionaire Baby Bargain. All right, whatever. But then it was, all of a sudden, the discussion started happening because then my manager and agent who were looking into it were like, dude, we don't even know what the hell a vertical is. Like, we can't find anything written about it. And then I tried Googling and tried finding some stuff. And there was like minimal, like, there was one Forbes article that was written about verticals, kind of like, of course, like snooty. Like, they were looking down on it, saying it's like, you know, cheap, like in media. But I was always enthralled and like very, very, it piqued my curiosity was the business model. I was like, how the hell do you guys think that you can film 70 something episodes in a week? I was like, this is nuts. And so I told my reps at the time, I was like, you know what? I'm curious. Like, I just want to say yes because I want to see it with my own eyes. And then like, the moment that I touched down and I fell in love with the whole process, I fell in love with the people. Everyone is just so, they operate in this space like a startup. Like everyone is like willing to like, you know, go above and beyond 12-hour days, shoot 20 plus pages, and we were just burning through this stuff. And then the release, it's so crazy how fast that I think that's the if I had to sum it all down to one word, it's just pure speed. It's just so fast. You can create it, develop it, pre-production, shoot it, post-production, release,
Is that
and
the
then nail the verdict.
adrenaline you need doing that?
Yeah, I mean. To be honest, the worst thing that I always hated about the horizontal legacy space is how long it takes to do anything. Like it just takes forever. And if you had, I mean, like, if you use the big ones, like we're talking like successful people. So Christopher Nolan, for instance, will take 1 year of pre-production, 1 year to shoot it, and then 1 year of post-production. It's already like 4 years of your life gone. Whereas these guys, I mean, you can pump these out in less than 3 months. You just went from 3 years to 3 months. And then of course the volume that they have too. They're not just releasing one every 3 months. They're releasing almost one a day. You know, it's crazy. And so as an actor and as like, you know, as an artist and someone, obviously at the end of the day, you have to pay bills. It's extremely, extremely nice to jump from one project to another, and it keeps the income coming. And you get to do what you love and survive. Because in the horizontal space, you either have to be a celebrity's kid or a trust fund kid to survive.
Yeah, I think so. So, when you look back to the first vertical shoot and to the last one you did, what has changed in this vertical space since then in the shooting?
I would say the sheer amount of competitors, like people who have entered the chat, so to speak, you know, like the how the kids say. There was like a winning circle, like a top three, top four. There was like Drama Box, Short Max, Real Short.
Good
There was
short.
Good Short. Yeah, exactly. But now, if you actually look it up, if you go onto your iTunes or you go onto the App Store, oh my God, there's like
Do you know how
150.
many apps
There's like
at the moment?
150, 200 apps now. That's what I'm saying. There's just so many. And if you really want me to get started on this, what's hilarious is that I actually have another company that I'm running with some friends of mine from MBA school, and it's a healthcare AI company. But I'm at the Google campus down in Venice Beach. So they have two campuses down there. They have the Playa Vista campus, and then they also have the Venice Beach one. So I'm at the Venice Beach one at the healthcare AI, like Google Cloud, Gemini, you name it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just hopstopping with people there. And of course, that's a very different world than verticals. But one of the guys that I went when we did the media and entertainment section of Gemini, which is the AI for Google, they were hosting it at the old YouTube space in Playa Vista. And so I go there and I met the CTO of Fanflix. And I'm sitting there chatting with him. And he's like, yeah, man, there's like this new market that we're entering into. And I'm like, oh yeah, what are you doing? And he's like, it's these micro drama vertical things that we're doing. I just
And you
start
say,
laughing. Exactly. I was just dying laughing. And the moment that he said it, of course, I don't share that I'm in the space. And I just start talking. I'm like, yeah, I know those guys. I know like Real Short. I know like Drama Box and stuff. And he was like floored. He's like, how do you know so much about this? Yeah. I'm like,
I'm
yeah,
a
whatever.
bit in.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, I've dabbled in there a little bit. But yeah, I was talking, and it was all the C-suite people. It was like the CMO, the CTO of like multiple companies who are trying. And if you have anything as far as a digital arm or anything that's in the media space, you've heard of verticals, and guess what? You're doing it. You're doing it in 2026. And so it's crazy what's happening right now. Whereas before, you could barely find anything written about it. Now,
Yeah, that's the
no
status
one would stop
also
talking about it.
here
Yeah.
in Germany still, that you cannot find really informations about it. Because you know the Germans are kind of let's say really critical. Here it's more the state like I don't think that this will work out. But they are missing that it's already a big industry. It's not some
Hear me.
idea that it's already a big industry.
I can speak from experience with this one. So yeah, I think a lot of people who are trying to look at the industry from the outside don't understand it. But me being on the inside, me having like a fan base now and having like a following, I have DMs all the time from Africa, the DMs from South America, DMs from India, DMs from Asia, DMs from Europe. Like, this is no longer just an American. Because when I did stuff for ABC, when I did stuff for Disney, when I did stuff for Lucasfilm, I would get DMs from people in America. That's it. Now that I do verticals, it is a global fan base. It's crazy. I remember when the fires happened in Altadena, whenever people were messaging me from Malaysia and Vietnam saying, is Maverick and Cozy okay?
Not you, only your kids.
Well,
They
that's it.
asked
Exactly. I
about the
mean, they're like,
kids.
are the kids okay? Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is that, like,
Yes.
my fans now are in Cambodia. My fans now are in the Philippines. My fans now are in Brazil. My fans now are in Africa.
How
Whereas
does that
before,
feel?
it's crazy. It's still kind of like it messes with your mind a bit because all of a sudden it's like the entire media world has been flipped upside down. Where when people don't understand it or like try to poke fun at it, because I was like, because you're only looking at it through your perspective of domestic US. You don't understand that this actually is talking to hundreds of millions, if not billions of people across the world. It's
Yeah.
like, yeah, that's how the aperture needs to widen for these like media executives who are stuck in the old ways. And I'll also argue too, if you really get me, angry about it, I'll be like, they're just angry because they're losing power. They're losing the grip.
Yeah, the German ones are so structured. And I think the problem is right actually this pace verticals are going. German wants to control a bit more and check four, five, six times, They're not so openly to take a risk, the German ones. And I think that's kind of problem actually, because until they realize what kind of industry and also big market there is, they are a bit too late, I think. Or they try it in the wrong way.
So you have a business background, so you actually understand this, that I don't even need to attack that mentality with an artistic sword. I can attack that from a business one. Whereas when you're a lean startup and you're a new company, if you're too afraid to make any moves and enter the market, you're gonna die. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you have no money left. Like you're gonna burn what little capital you have, and then you don't learn anything from being the product market fit of entering a market, and you
Yes.
just die and no one listens to you. Whereas what happened early on with RealShort is that they had a product, they had an MVP, the minimum viable product, which was their first real like series, and they entered the market. They entered the market, learned, listened to their audience, aka their customer, and then iterated. And they
And
started
had a
failing.
great marketing team,
That's
because
it.
every
Great marketing.
audience I spoke to, how they got into the vertical stuff, to all fans, the first thing is, oh, I got trapped by an ad on TikTok or Facebook from RealShort. So the
But there you
RealShort
go.
marketing, they should get a big promotion
Well,
raise,
of course,
really.
they get the gold star because what did they
Really.
do? They entered the market, they
Yeah.
learned what works, and they kept doing it and then
Yeah.
iterating.
Yeah.
And so you innovate and move. And yes, some things don't work, but who cares? You tried it, you learned it doesn't work, you stop doing it and then move and pivot. And but like I said, when the biggest problem with young startups and like young founders, when I talk to them, is always like you can get stuck. I call it over sharpening your pencil. You can sit there and be like, okay, no, I'm gonna start when my pencil's sharp. G All right, well, one more time. And you don't do anything. You're just over sharpening your pencil. Like, sorry, buddy, like you need to move. You need to do something. And so yeah, that mentality as far as like the business mindset, they've already failed. And you haven't even started the art stuff yet. You already failed the business.
And that's why I win the lottery.
Yeah.
So I will have my money and I can do the shit on my
There
own
you
here.
go. Let's
That
party.
would be the
Let's party.
easiest way.
Let's go. I'm down.
So,
I
yeah,
love it.
I'm
Let's build it
trying.
during Christmas. I want to do it with the Christmas markets. That's what
In
I want to
Germany,
egg.
everyone is talking about the Christmas markets in Germany.
Love the Christmas markets. I had so much fun. My buddy, he drove up from Leipzig and we met us in Frankfurt and we did the Christmas markets and it was the most fun I've ever had at Christmas.
But
It
you
was
have to
so much fun.
visit the Christmas markets in the south. They are
In the south too. All right,
really
like I told you win the lottery, I'm there. I'm gonna waste all your lottery money on mulled wine. Let's go.
Hello? Hello? You are telling your son that he has to keep the money and you will waste mine? Are you
That's funny.
serious, Richard?
Other people's money. You can waste other people's money, not yours.
I don't think so. And to be honest, for 70 million euros, you are a dad of mulled wine. So dad.
The king of mobile. There you go.
The thing is, I'm kind of, let's say, baking addicted. My next book
Okay.
is a Christmas baking book.
Oh, sweet.
And I bake every year around about 50, 60 different types of traditional Christmas cookies, around about 70 kilos.
Whoa. All right.
And when I recorded I baked the whole November. And when I recorded with the November people, at the end, I sent, I think, 7 or 8 Christmas cookie packages over to your colleagues.
Okay.
There were a
I'm
lot of
trying.
my
I want
Christmas
more.
cookies in LA
I want
lately.
more.
Well, you
I
were
get
too
some, you know,
late.
okay? And I'll let the kids know. All right, we're getting some cookies from Germany. Let's
This
go.
year, okay? We will do
All
that
right.
this year.
Done. Done.
I'm baking always the whole November and shipping in the first week of December. And last year, the packages took round about 2 weeks to LA. And everyone claimed, oh, Michaela, I have to go to the gym one day more because I ate them all. And I said, that's not my problem. That's your problem. You want to have cookies? You got the cookies, the traditional German Christmas cookies.
Oh my God, that's great. I love it. I'm expecting that now. I'm going to tell the kids, you're going to get traditional German cookies this year for Christmas. Let's go.
Yeah, mark it in your calendar. You'll have to contact me about this in November.
I'll contact you every day of November. I'll be like, excuse me, did you make it yet?
No, you know, I'm posting. Listen, I'm posting. I did also last November. I'm posting every day what type of cookies I finished on this day.
Oh, wow.
So you can oversee the whole baking process.
Done. I'm there. I'll set a Google calendar alert.
In November, I have to watch Michaela's baking. I have to. No, it's every year the same. On the 1st of November, I start baking.
Okay.
Till round about the 26th, 27th.
I'll try to get a vertical. I'll try to book one that shoots in Germany, and I'll see you November 1st, all right?
You come over and said, listen,
I am here for the cookies.
No, I'm also baking some traditional Christmas cakes in jars so that they can preserved and you can take them for 6 months. You're speaking here to the Christmas bakery owner.
I know you're Mrs. Claus. You're basically Mrs. Claus. Let's go.
And Michael Bublé, a bit sound Christmas deluxe music. Snow. We have already snow here. Frosty outside. It's the real stuff here, Richard. We are talking about.
I'm gonna move in. You got an extra bedroom? I'll just move in for November.
This is my guest room where I'm sitting now.
Okay. All right. I could do the podcast with you there. We do the podcast together.
A live cast, you want to say?
All right, I brought some friends here. We're going to talk to some friends in the vertical world. Let's go. I'll just start calling them.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, when I saw lately a lot of cooking verticals, I was sometimes a bit disappointed because the leads didn't know how to use a knife correctly.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. Exactly. It's so obvious they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. I hate that. Yeah.
And that was
I'm a stickler on that. Like, if your character is a chef, you better learn how to, you know, operate like a chef.
It's the same with the sportive verticals. Yeah. When you're doing a football vertical and you see exactly that you don't know how to catch the
ball. They don't even know how to catch the ball. Yeah, exactly. That's a pet peeve of mine. You're right. Yeah. I'm down.
No.
I'm down to party. Whoever's listening, Drama Wave, Drama Pops, Drama TV, like, let's go. Hit me up.
Is it possible for you?
I need to go to Istanbul. 2026. Okay. I'm going to shoot in Germany after you win the lottery. Let's go. We'll put it out there.
Are you afraid of snow?
You speak it. Oh, of course not. I snowboard.
Oh, come on. All the LA people are sometimes, ooh, that's so cold and frosty.
So my dad actually was ski patrol when he was at the Colorado. So he was at Colorado School of Mines. That's where he was doing his master's. He was doing ski patrol on the mountains. That was what I was, you know, his part-time job. And so growing up, any time in the winter where we had any vacation, we were always in the mountains somewhere, skiing, snowboarding, everything.
So you have warm clothes.
Yep, I got it. Yeah, I'm good.
Because a lot of people told me, I want to shoot too badly. Yeah, but we have snow at the moment. Ah, that's too cold. I will come in summer. Oh, come on, really?
Now you're going to miss the Christmas markets. Like, I'm like a broken record. I love those.
Did you try German food?
Of course.
What? I want to know. Come on, Wiener Schnitzel. Wien? Where is Wien? Vienna in Austria.
Okay, all right. We did the sausages. We did the
Bratwurst, Currywurst. Did you ever try the Currywurst?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That JC Ann told me that that's her favorite, and John Henry Richardson told me that's his favorite.
Because my buddy, like I told you, he's from Leipzig, so I basically said, "All right, you need to teach me everything that's German. Let's go." And so he gave us all of it. But that's it. Like the Christmas market with the mulled wine, like that was a hit. Like everyone was just like, oh my God,
The
this is so good.
atmosphere on Christmas markets is
That's it.
so
It's the
good.
atmosphere. It really was. Everyone, they didn't even speak English, but they were just like, hey, Merry Christmas. And we're just like hugging each other. I know, that's what I'm saying. That's the stuff that I miss. You know, actually, I'm gonna jump from that. So I think one of the most unique and beautiful things about going outside of the country, so that and kind of like embracement and like just having the Christmas spirit at the Christmas markets, it made me think of a story. So I actually toured South America with my twin brother back in the day before I started NYU. So basically I got accepted to school and I would start school in August, but I got accepted back in like January. And so I was like, I had like this weird like 6 months-ish where I could just do whatever I wanted. And so me and my brother, I flew down to South America and we did like a big backpacking tour. And I saw, do you know the band Radiohead? So I saw Radiohead perform live in Buenos Aires, in Argentina. So they were doing their South America tour, and we were like, "Dude, let's go! The tickets are cheap. Like, let's just go." So we went to the show, and I kid you not, nobody spoke English there, but it didn't matter. I was singing, we were dancing. It was the most beautiful time we've ever had. I've ever
Big
had
party.
at a show. It was a big party. And guess what? There were no phones. No one's being stupid, just sitting there like that. And the big one is no one's too cool to dance. Everyone just dances.
Exactly.
But like in America, I always hated doing concerts in America because one, everyone just sits there with their phone, or two, everyone's too cool to dance. And if you try to start talking to your strangers like next to you and stuff like that, people get weird. And so they're just like, yeah, like no, like I paid too much money for this. Like I just want to like watch. And it's like nobody really has the experience anymore. It's not a collective experience. And so I pretty much ruined concerts for myself seeing Radiohead in Buenos Aires, because I basically say everyone sucks. Nobody can do it better than the Argentines. So yeah.
But that's exactly what I meant with Michaela Soundgarden.
There you go,
Just
the Soundgarden.
live the
That's exactly
moment,
it.
live the moment, enjoy the moment, and memorize it.
It sucks because it should be that simple, but yet because it's so rare, to this day, I always talk about that story. It shouldn't be so rare that you can actually meet strangers and have fun and have a beautiful experience with people with no phones. That should be every day, right? But it's not. And because of that is why I tell that story and everyone's like, wow, that's so cool. And that's the thing. I was like, it shouldn't be that cool. It should be normal, right?
Yeah, the motto of my Michaela Soundgarden is where music connects people.
It's true. It literally is the universal language. You don't have to speak German. You don't have to speak Spanish. You don't have to speak Portuguese. It's just music.
Okay, I see. So you have also to visit my Soundgarden, huh?
Done. I told you, we're gonna
I
party.
did one. I did one totally special one. You know, when I did, the idea was, when I was studying, I lived with two men and I. We were roommates. So, and two of them were playing the guitar, and I had singing lessons back in school. So we did always some jam sessions in our living room. And when we were finished with studying and everyone goes their own way, I was really missing that, you know, sitting together doing some jam sessions. And then on a birthday of mine, these two guys were standing in front of my door with the guitars 5 or 6 years later and said, "Yeah, we want to visit you." They were now 3, 4 hours away from my home, but on my birthday, they came back. And at that point, I lived in an apartment with a really big living room. I think 40 square feet was the living room. It was really big. And we did a jam session. I said, "Oh, I miss that so much." And then we decide, okay, let's make a sofa concert in the winter for our friends. Okay. And then the winter came and we didn't find a date which fit. And I was like, shit. And then in April after that, I moved into this house here. And then on April, one of them called me and said, "Ah, Michaela, we have to do the sofa concert." And I said, "Listen, I have a problem. I don't have the living room anymore." But I'm having now 1,000 square feet of garden. So, and I sent him a video over, and he said, next morning he called me and said, Michaela, I had a vision. And I said, what was the vision? He said, what does Michaela's sound garden sound? And I said, tell me more. Sounds good. And then 3 weeks later, we did the first one. It's totally small. I think we're 20, 25 people. And we were only doing it 1 hour. And all the people said, when will it be next year? And I said, why next year? Wait, stop. And my colleague was so smart. On the flyers we did, he also printed volume one. And then in the next year, we did the next one. And then I posted that on Instagram.
Yeah.
And a singer from Ireland saw this and sent me a message and said, listen, I want to play also in your garden. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, I will be in Europe for a tour at the end of November. And I said, listen, it's a garden. We have a problem.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, but I stalked your profile and that looked so nice. And then at this time, every Monday, I met with some people for dinner at my place. All kind of people, even my dad came over. And then I told them and said, listen, I was contacted by an artist from Ireland and he sent me over some links to his music and he did so great Irish folk music. And I said, he wants to come over, but in November. And everyone was saying, okay, so we need a tent in your garden. And I said, what, a tent? Yeah, we need a tent. And I said, okay. And then we organized the tent, 80 square feet big. And we did that on the last day, last Saturday of November, right before the Advent time started here. So we did a whole Christmas atmosphere in my garden in this tent. Cool. With 70 people as an audience in this tent, and he was singing and playing Irish folk music unplucked. I stood in the tent and I was like a kid in the candy shop and I thought, what the heck was happening here? But these are so great memories. And he posted that, and in the next year, someone of Canada contacted me. So I had one of Canada here. I had even a duo from San Francisco already. Oh, awesome. They did some blues stuff. I had a rock band edition with two bands one year. Last year, I had one from England, a blues singer and songwriter from England here. So I don't know yet who will join me this year, but Danny Farber, you know, he's also doing music.
That's cool.
He saw that and he sent Michaela, I will try to film some vertical stuff in Istanbul.
Yeah, and then come over. We'll come over.
Yeah, because from Istanbul, it's 3 hours to fly, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So maybe Sir Danny Farber will join me this year for my 10th episode of the Soundgarden.
I'll play some stuff for you. I used to play the guitar a lot. I could sing for you. Give me like 3 songs and I'll play a set.
But it's on the 4th of July this year.
Okay.
So
I'll be there.
That's a date for this year. just you want to know to make all the plans around.
All the plans, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we have to get you over to Europe for shooting.
Okay, done.
Okay, yeah, next goal. That to-do list is growing. That's really growing.
It's getting bigger. Sheesh.
What would be a dream role for you to play in a vertical?
I think a dream role? Dream. It would actually be a project that I wrote and a project that I produced and also a project that I would potentially direct. I think that's the dream role, is that there's a plenty of stories that live that won't leave me alone in my head. It's like James Cameron's famous story that he had the dream of Avatar when he was 19. And then he got to make his film finally. And look at him now.
Yeah.
I feel like every artist has like the creative spark that got them interested in this world to begin with. And I feel like mine has a couple of stories that are still mulling around in here. And like whenever I put them in like on paper and have the ability to actually produce it and star in it and then direct it myself even, I think that would be a very, very big dream come true.
More the villain one or more the nice one?
Well, this one would be definitely like the hero, the hero's journey. It's almost like the Luke Skywalker or the Indiana Jones or like
The
the
Luke Skywalker for the vertical world, you want to say? That's a good title for the episode. Richard
That's a
Jarrah, the Luke Skywalker for the vertical world. Yeah, that's good. Check. Thank you for the title of this episode. That's good. That's good. Richard, I'm asking in every episode on the end a 5-question quickie.
Let's go. Go, shoot.
So, what's your favorite dish? What do you like to eat?
There's a famous dish from Peru. Actually, my mom is from Peru. She's from South America, so not many people know that I'm actually half German and half Peruvian, South American.
Half German?
Yeah, so my dad's bloodline is all German. That's where I
Do you
get my
speak
height.
German?
Oh, of course, I wish I did. I wish.
Minus
I know.
point on that.
Horrible,
Okay.
horrible. I need to go back to the motherland, though. I need to play in the Soundgarden, and then all of a sudden I'll be able to speak German.
Yeah, that's
But
good.
there's a famous dish from Peru called Lomo Saltado. If you can find a Peruvian place, or you can Google Lomo Saltado and make that, it's the best dish in the world. I
What
love it. It's
the
amazing.
ingredients
It's
around?
everything. It's like peppers, onions, it's got French fries, and it's like this amazing sauce that they put on top that I call crack sauce. You can never put enough of it. There's a place in LA that is famous for the Lomo Saltado that it's kind of like a hole in the wall. People don't really like know of it until I take them, and they're like, "This is the most amazing thing I've ever had in my
Is
life."
it spicy?
It can be. Yeah, you can make it sp as spicy as you want it to be,
Yeah,
but
I'm not the
oh my God,
spicy
it's so
either.
good.
I'm
It's
not
so
the
good. So
spicy.
if you ever came to LA, I'll take you straight there and we could have some Lomo Saltado and you'll be like, "This is amazing. I
So,
love it."
okay. What is your comfort movie? What's a movie you watched, let's say, 100 times?
I was like, I mean, th there's, I'll just be honest. I was like,
Yeah, we are always open
yeah,
and
I
honest.
know. Like, there's different ways you could answer this question. You could try to be cool or say something that's very like, oh, that's so artsy. But I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, there was a movie that I watched too much.
Too much, okay.
It's Disney's Aladdin, the animated
Oh,
cartoon.
I love that one.
I
Totally
did a whole podcast.
understandable.
I did a whole podcast episode about it with Real Short, with Real Talk. It's called Real Talk with Real Short in their little podcast studio. And I kid you not, I have pulled from that story in my life probably a little too much. Too much. I literally went out and found a princess and I married her.
Can you
So,
fly?
yeah, exactly. I've got a magic carpet. Shh, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Yeah.
It's not so hard to come over to Europe, Richard.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
good.
I'll
That's
jump on the
good.
magic
You
carpet.
can directly land in my garden. That's fine. That's good. Do you have comfort music or music you love to
So people
listen
make fun of
to?
me all the time. I don't care, but I actually listen to movie soundtracks all the time. So there's like the soundtrack for Inception. But like there's different moods that if I want to be in, especially on set for different characters, I find music from other movies and soundtracks to
Yeah.
actually put in my ears right before I do a scene. It gets you in the right mindset and the mood.
Yeah.
Like nothing can take you to a different, where you go, we're gonna go back to the analogy, on a different octave on the piano faster than music. So music can make you jump. And so you wanna hear something crazy? So when I would ride the motorcycle a lot in LA, when I was zipping on the 405 or the 110 or like the 134, I had Inception music from the soundtrack in my ears when I was driving the motorcycle. Oh my God. You were like, I feel like I was in a movie. I was just like zipping through, like with Inception soundtrack. I felt like I was in a Christopher Nolan movie. It was the
That's
most
great.
intense and the most amazing feeling ever. So now when you're on the Autobahn and you're going over 150 miles an hour, put the Inception soundtrack in. Oh, game over.
I have to check that out. I have to check that out. You know, mostly I'm listening to music when I'm walking with my dogs in the forest, when it's normally totally quiet. I hear sometimes really classic music stuff,
There you go.
but when I gave lecture at the university and I'm a bit of was talking about some technical stuff 2.5 hours, I totally need to hear Foo Fighters or stuff like that when I'm driving home.
Need to decompress, exactly. You just need to like wipe
Yeah,
the
it
canvas
is.
clean, the
It
chalkboard.
is. Okay, last 2 questions. First one, if I would come to you and say, Richard, listen, I'm new to this vertical stuff, I want to start watching it, which one of your shows I should have definitely watched?
The first one. Like, literally, what a lot of people will DM me and say, Richard, your The Billionaire Baby Bargain is what started me in verticals. So I was like, all right. Like, yeah, that, I literally get told that all the time. And so they'll watch The Billionaire Baby Bargain. And if you want to get angry and see me be a bad dad, watch Mommy Don't Cry, Daddy I'm Sorry. That's the one that a lot of people, they got worked up about. And then, oh man, like, and seriously, the one that will release, the one with my son, it's unique. It's beautiful. We found the Shirley Temple reincarnated. Shirley Temple.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Do you watch your verticals by yourself, the whole shows?
No, I don't. No, my wife does, though. My wife loves them. She
but you surely will watch the one with your son, huh?
Exactly. I'll definitely watch that one. That'll probably be the first one to watch the complete end. There's certain scenes and there's certain... Well, I guess the best way is, like, there's certain scenes of different shows that I'm like, oh, I have to see how that turned out. Oh, I want to see how this turned out. Yeah. So that's just me being curious. But yeah, you're right. I just don't have time. I'm so busy.
A movie.
I wish I could just watch it from the beginning to the end. I need to watch one.
Yeah. So last question, which genre you want to see more on you, maybe in the vertical stuff?
Action, adventure. Like, that's what I was telling you about. I was like, I feel like there's a beautiful, like, ability for me to play with, like, my brand. Like, everyone knows I'm a dad, but I can mix it with action and be like Liam Neeson in Taken, where someone takes my daughter and I'm like, I gotta find my daughter. And they go out and, like, shoot people, go fight people. I think that'd be a great blending of the
fast
genre.
Fast motorcycle, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Jump on my motorcycle, kind of like a Mission Impossible, Taken kind of, like, feel. I think it'd be fun.
Okay, so I see. Fun. I see. But then you have to shoot this in Germany because of the Autobahn. You can drive as fast as you want. Yeah.
That's right. That's what I love.
Win-win situation.
Oh my God. I swear, I didn't even notice how long it's been, because talking to you just feels like it's like, you know, we're best friends already. This is crazy. It's already been like an hour and a half.
We are BFs now.
I know, we're BFs. We're BFs. By the way, I love your story. Seriously, bottom of my heart. I love your story. I love the tats. I like, you literally inspired me. Like, I want to get my own now with something like that.
Then your wife gets angry with me and she said, what did you tell Richard? He wants,
like,
to get
to live my life every single day as if it was your last. It's a great mentality.
I will send you sometimes a reminder of that, okay? Because sometimes people forget that. I'm not making fun of it out of it. Some people, when I see sometimes in their status stories, whatever, that they work very hard. I have a really good feeling for people since all this stuff happened to me.
Yeah,
and a really good sense. And I see in some pictures or status or videos exactly, are they good or not? And then sometimes I send them randomly an email with a wise saying or stuff like that with some motivation words, and then I'm out.
Thank you. Can't wait.
Nothing expecting in return.
I know you're going to do it, because I remember I posted one time. We'll end with this. Yes. I posted one time where I had multiple business trips for my other job, along with the verticals, what I was shooting. So I wasn't sleeping. So I would work my full day on my day job. And then I would go and clock in to shoot a vertical because we were doing night shoots. And then I would go back and clock in again for my day job. So there was like a week where I didn't sleep. And I was like, I felt horrible. And then I had to jump on a flight to go do a business meeting in San Francisco. And there was a picture that I posted where one time I was like, I took a selfie, and then in the plane, I just posted it saying, it's like, you know, the work never ends or whatever. And a lot of people DM me like, are you okay? Like, you look tired.
No, that would not be the thing I'm be asking. I have the agreement with my roommates. Every person who was the first one waking up on the day did a post it on our fridge with a nice saying and a motivation word to keep, maybe to give you a smile for the day.
Love it.
And because I cannot post you a post it on your fridge, I will send you a virtually post it.
Do it.
Someone on out of nowhere.
Very much appreciated. Thank you. I'm saying thank you ahead of time. So
Richard, I thank you so much for your time and talking to.
Awesome.
And as I said, it depends on you if you get Christmas cookies this year or not.
Hmm? Okay, I'm on it. I already put the Google alert. I'm going to be in your
DM. I said that now for the records one time.
I'm gonna beat you to. I'll be in your Soundgarden. I'll be playing. You're like, who is that? Richard? That's how it's gonna be. You're gonna see me in the Soundgarden. All right.
That's good. That's nice. So thank you very much. Have a great 2026. Looking forward to see you in a lot of vertical shows, but please not so often as the. I cannot live with that, Richard. To be honest, I had enough drama in my life.
If I do another evil one, I'll be sure. Like, don't worry, he's not real.
Or give me a short message before. Listen, Mia Ella, I'm not sure if you want to watch this. Nah, it may be destroy your opinion.
There's a lot of people when they see me on a thumbnail, like the poster, they're like, oh God, I'm gonna laugh and I'm gonna cry. They always say like, I gotta get my Kleenex. Richard's on this one. I'm like, oh, I'm laughing.
We will see. Richard, thank you very much. Right. Have a great, great day. It's so late at your
all
place.
Right. Yeah. Everybody listening, love you so much. We'll see you soon. All right, bye.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode and I hope you tune in again.